which environments am I in, which ones energize me, and which ones don't, and to make decisions around those, to go and find the things that will improve my situation, that will help me to grow.
Am I comfortable in this space? Can I be myself, or do I have to put this mask on and pretend to be something I'm completely not, or something that doesn't align with my values?
For me, the important part is understand the environment that you are in, so that you can see how it can improve to foster those relationships better.
You can't just do this once a year in January or February and then you hunky-dory the rest of the year. You continuously reflect, okay, where am I in terms of my roles? Which relationships are good and bad?
Before we start this podcast, I've got one little favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so we can help more people every single week? Thank you.
Welcome to The Right Place. Today, Rudolf and I are wrapping up our series called The CEO Playbook, How to Maximize Your Roles, Relationships, and Environments in 2025. Rudolf, how's it going your side?
Good, John. Been very busy. January's over. We're in Feb already, and you can't believe the first month of the year is just gone. But yeah, going very well. Been busy, been blessed to be busy. So nothing to complain about. Your side?
No, I would say pretty much the same, Rudolf. Got some interesting projects going on, writing a lot, talking to a lot of people, connecting with some great people in the LACA network, enjoying it. Had some great weather this side in Cape Town. Not too windy as it is normally in summer. So yeah, enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting how it's all shifted suddenly. So it was so cold and rainy and wet in Pretoria. And now the last few weeks, it's been blazing hot. And you complain if it's raining, you complain if it's hot. So I think it's just human nature. While we should enjoy all the seasons, but yeah, it's been good fun. I think work-wise as well, getting really dialed into a lot of detail the last weeks has been fun and challenging at the same time. But yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in this year still. And a lot to discuss on The Right Place as well for me and you.
No, excellent. And I'm glad we're going to be talking about environments today. I think it's something that is very critical. And it was actually a post yesterday by Daniel Priestley saying your environment definitely, definitely affects you. If you think you're impenetrable, you're made out of titanium and nothing's going to affect you, you've got it very, very wrong. And we keep saying that your right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. And we want to talk about environments today and how it can incubate you in terms of reaching your right place. You're in the right role, in the right relationships, but are you in the right environment? And by definition, your environment is the places that you live, places that you play, the places that you work at, all those places that you go to. So it's these physical environments. It's not necessarily the virtual environment and how active you are on LinkedIn and stuff. And I think it's important to distinguish between where you do certain things. Where are you excelling? Which environments bring you down? Which environments give you a lot of energy? And that's what we're going to unpack today. Rudolf, what are some of your favorite environments to live, work, and play in as well?
I feel obliged to say that I love my house, that it's my favorite place to live, but it's quite obvious. I think it's important that your home base, that your safe space almost is really that you're comfortable there. I think if we think about the way that we work these days, a lot of our work is actually also at home. And it's important that we create an environment at home that is functional for work, but also that is still a home. When you walk out of that little home office, that you're able to unwind, that you're able to build relationships at the home, because it all starts from that foundational aspect of relationships with your family, with your kids, your wife, your husband, whatever the case is. So I think that to me is crucial. I do a lot of my work from home, and I think unfortunately sometimes I get very lonely and I go and sit somewhere, which brings me to my second place. Is I used to, when I was really working from home a lot, I used to go to a coffee shop, and not to meet up with people, but just to sit and work there to see other people, because I'm not the type of guy who wants to be on my own for 5 days of the week. I don't like that. I get energized by people, so I want to be in a space where there's other people around me sometimes. And I would zone in so much into the work that I actually don't even notice the people around me, but I wanted to get out. But what I've come to realize over the last probably half a year is that it's probably the least productive that I've been is sitting in those coffee shops. It's noisy. You can't make a Zoom call. You can't be online in a meeting because it's just too much noise around you. Probably not the most ideal working environment. But for me as a person, as a human, it was very important to be in that space. And to maybe wrap up on this part of my discussion is to, as I've grown into building more face-to-face relationships with people and I go to more meetings in person these days and so on, I don't feel that need to go and sit there anymore because I am getting that human connection during the day from other methods and other ways. And thus, I don't go to these coffee shops as much as I used to. Saves me a bit of money, but it also it keeps me a bit more productive as well. How do you manage that, John?
I really enjoy working from home. I do miss the office, though, connecting with people, catching up and that. I don't like coffee shops. I find them incredibly noisy. And you're very distracted. Someone laughs too loud or a waiter drops something and it just knocks you off your train of thought. I think it's good for casual conversation, but I think work-based meetings, I think the calmer your environment, the better for you. Yeah. I play golf. The golf course is a wonderful environment to have long conversations, to see people in a different environment, see how competitive they are, see what they get up to, see how they handle themselves. And I think each environment is preferable to different people or preferable to different situations and what you want to achieve. I also like the boardrooms and seeing people in their professional space, seeing how they handle themselves, having deep conversations. I was always a proponent for going to visit someone in their space because that's where they are most comfortable. So I'd never, ever mind driving to someone's office, driving to their factory, their plant, whatever, because they're in their natural habitat. They're very comfortable there. And it's interesting for me. I like seeing what people get up to. Mm-hmm. And the more comfortable they are, the easier maybe the conversation will go. If they have to drive to you and they struggle to find the place and there's parking and taxi cut them off, it could be a completely different meeting. And that's one of the tricks I think I learned from the consulting side is go and visit the clients, show up at their space. Uh-huh. And I think it's important that you show that commitment, that you'll make a little bit of the effort to show up in their environment. And what's important about environments is that they shape your productivity, your creativity, your emotional well-being. And if your environments aren't aligned to how you operate in your roles and your relationships, it's going to detract from that. So you might think, yes, but I'm really doing well as a CFO or a CEO. I've got the right relationships. If something isn't working or you're uncomfortable, you're not happy, it probably is the environment. That might be the missing piece that can really help you excel. And it's definitely connected to your roles and your relationships. Because when you're performing these tasks and interacting with people, you're in an environment. Wherever you go, you're in some sort of environment. And the way to excel in those environments is to make it one that works for you. Is it working for you? Is it working for you working from home? Or should you go to an office rather? Or should you arrange your meetings to rather be at a hotel or a bit more of a quieter space? All of those things add up and affect how you handle yourself.
Quickly intersect there where you spoke about going visiting people in their environment because that's where they're most comfortable. And interestingly, a week or two ago, I went to go and see the owner of Bossenberg, who's one of the Lekker Network members as well. Went to his place, just set it up. I do like camping, so I like what they do. They build canopies and roof racks and stuff. So I thought, let me drive there. It's not close to my place, but let me go there and go and see how they manufacture these things as well and so on. We've never met. I pitch up and we sit in a boardroom, have a long chat, about an hour chat about how the business started, what they do the whole history. And then he says, okay, let me take you through the factory, which is obviously why I went there as well. And one thing that struck me that I would never have known had I not gone there is there's probably 30 people that I saw that work there, all on massive machinery and technical things. But as we walk through, almost each and every staff member stood up, came up to him, shook his hand, made a joke, asked a comment. And that shows me the quality of the relationships that they had in the workplace. And suddenly I'm like almost in awe of what they are trying to achieve here, not just on a product side, but actually building something that fosters good relationships, that's a pleasant environment to work in. And I mean, if it came from his side, I could have perceived it as fake. I could have. But because it came from the staff, they all respect him. You can see it's a friendly environment. Suddenly realize there's much more to this business than just delivering a quality product in the end. And I think it's those type of things that you don't pick up if you don't go to your clients as well, or to your competitors sometimes, or to other people in their environments. There's some stuff that I can learn from that. There's things that I can learn to say, listen, how did you get this right? How did they get it to work this way? And what can I do to improve the environment that I lead, the workspace that I create for other people? How do I make that work so that it's absolutely optimal? And I mean, we've spoken about roles. We've spoken about relationships. And today we're discussing environments. But to have clarity of roles and to improve the relationships that your staff has, we need to create that right environment. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to add is I read in January a book from Jason Lee. It's a South African guy that's is very big in property investment, and he's built wealth out of properties from Cape Town as well, and a big author, wrote 3 books already. I wrote a book that I picked up on a bargain discount stall some time ago. I read it, and then one of the chapters starts, the first or second chapter starts with time management. And I'm like, it's not what I signed up for, because I'm looking into property investment. And very interestingly, he talks about how you can avail yourself or get more time to improve the time that you have for your property investment business. And he says there, one of the things is the open plan is not your friend. The open plan actually takes some of your time. And I do agree with that to some extent, because some of us can't work in an open plan. It's the same as working in a coffee shop almost. There's always action. There's always a distraction. I remember when I was doing my articles, and I mean, you were there with me. I don't want to say too much, but my work was always done a little bit before the average guy there, and I'm sure yours as well. But that last hour of work, I was done with my stuff for the day, and I literally distracted other people from their work, because now I'm free. I've got time on my hands. I walk around. I talk nonsense, and other people are now behind because of me. And I think that is the problem with these environments where you force a lot of people into a big room, and suddenly only half of us get to do our work because the other half is like Rudolph and distracting other people.
Yeah, it's very interesting. When you were saying now about the boss walking through the factory, I mean, you'll know from my experience being acting CFO at CEF, that was my role. My role was then acting CFO, but I didn't have a relationship with the people. And the only way to build that relationship was to be in the environment. So when I got there, they offered me this corner office very far from the finance department. And everything was very, very up and down, dear McCall, as you might remember. So I ended up sitting in the debtors department, and I learned everything about the debtors department, built good relationships with them. But I found the best thing that I did every day was walk around, go to the debtors department, go to the creditors department, go to inventory, walk around in the Pretoria factory, and then also visiting the other factories, talking to the people, not just sending an email from head office side. And that really accelerated the relationship building. So exactly like your friend walking on his production floor there, people are then very comfortable to talk to him. They don't have to go and talk to him only at the top office, and he's looking down at them the whole time. He's one of the guys. He's maybe the business owner, and that's how you accelerate the relationships as well. And then people build this comfortable relationship with you. And what we've oftentimes said on the pod is, we are South Africans. We can talk to anyone. We can have a lack of conversation. If you've got this massive distance between you and your staff, or there's almost this invisible barrier that they can't approach you, or they only visit you in the office, and that impacts the relationship. So the way you handle your environment, the way you manage it as well, impacts definitely your relationship with your staff. If you've got an open door policy or a closed door policy, or you're never available, that's definitely going to impact you. And it's going to affect your role as well, because you're not going to be effective in your role. Because, again, you've got this barrier around yourself. So Rudolf, how do we make our environments more attractive, and what are maybe some of the things that we can do to enhance them, or to help us in our roles and in our relationships?
I think it's important to go and assess which environment you are in. I think the important part here is that we are not just, in the old days, we were just at the office and you would be stuck in that office. Nowadays, it's a lot more flexible and it's a lot more fluid almost. So it's very important that we understand the environments that we are in, and go and assess if these environments assist me in growing. Does it assist me to get my job done, firstly, to build good relationships? Does it fit the role that I am supposed to fulfill within that environment? And I mean, if you're an employee, it's a lot more difficult to shift from the environment, but at least you are able to analyze and see, is this environment a good fit for me personally? And what can I do to change it? There's no sense in just making a noise about how rubbish it is and that it doesn't work, but what can I actually go and do to change that environment? Can I bring in flowers and plants, or is there a little bit of a barrier that I can put in the way from the noisy guys, or whatever the case is that's hampering you or prohibiting you from actually doing your day job? But in terms of relationship building, I think the key part here is that, yes, understand your environment, know the environment that you are in, but also go and build that relationships to the environments around you. Every office, and from my experience in the past, every single office has a bit of a subculture. And you'll have the finance guys that are always frowned upon because they're the gatekeepers and they're always in trouble. But you have the operational guys who are really grinding it out, actually complaining about a lot of things because they need to do the hard graft there. And you've got the sales guys who seem to be never working, always in a party or so. But go and understand those environments as well and see how you can be the bridge between what you do and what they do, and how you can improve their lives, how you can improve their environment. And that would necessarily mean that they would help you again. I think for me, the important part is understand the environment that you are in so that you can see how it can improve to foster those relationships better, to understand other people's roles better. And we always talk about ourselves, what is good for me and where I'm going. But if you can do it for someone else, they're going to come back and do it for you. I can guarantee you that. So it's important that we go and understand those environments as well and learn from those roles and build relationships in those other spaces as well. Also, what is really important, and over a course of a week in my personal space, it changes a lot, is to clean your desk, keep your space tidy. I mean, I print a lot of stuff and I work with papers and books and stuff, and it will be all over my desk. And on a Friday, it would look like I'm sitting on a mountain here. But I can't start a Monday like that. You can't work in a space that is so cluttered and dier mekaar, as we say in Afrikaans, that you can't actually function. So go and clean it up, make it pleasant for other people to enter your environment as well, but also that your thought process and the way of working is smooth and clear. And you can believe it or not, but there's a psychological, there's an emotional connotation to the mess around you as well. And it speaks volumes at first glance from someone else just entering your space where you sit and work, and it looks like a mess. And it will do wonders for the way that you work if you can declutter and clean it up a bit.
No, I agree with you. I think it's important to understand that all of this clutter, all of these things lying around, is actually causing stress. It's causing stress in how you interact with people, causing stress in how you execute your roles. So if you can keep your own space clean and tidy, relatively, as long as it still works for you, but that just takes one bit of stress away. The other thing that we should reflect on is you also go to environments as well. You might have to attend a regular networking event or a trade meeting or a client meeting or something like that. If those environments are stressing you out, you need to do some work. You need to figure out what part of this environment is stressing me out. You might have your different stress at your home environment, then you've got your office environment, but what about these external environments? And we do a lot of networking events, and they're not really stressful for us. We enjoy talking to people, meeting them, and everything like that. But for people attending those events, it can be quite stressful. It can be daunting. They don't know who they're going to talk to. They don't necessarily know what to say. And that's what comes back to, you need to prepare yourself to go to this environment. If you're going to just show up very stressed or overworked, overtired, and it's not going to be, you're not going to have a good time, rather don't go. Rather say, look, this is not going to work. I need to do some work on myself, or I need to figure out a bit more of a game plan. And that's what, I mean, I've posted about this before on LinkedIn. If you're just showing up and you're repeating the same mistakes again, or going in with the wrong mindset again and again, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're wasting your time, and it's just not good. You're setting yourself up for failure. So I think these environments that you show up in, show up properly. If you just keep showing up unprepared, it's again like I said now, it's a waste of time. And ask for help. If something is not working, or there's a better colleague that can attend, or whatever, ask for help. Say, how can I improve this experience for me? How can I? Because it's definitely taking away from your roles and relationships as well. And if you understand that the environment maybe doesn't serve me anymore, or the season has passed, then you can stop going. You might want to see some friends there still, but you can see them on the side. You can catch up over coffee or over the weekend rather. So reflect on that now, and especially here at the beginning of the year, like we keep saying, reflect on what environments are giving me energy and what environments are detracting from me. Because if it's not serving you, please stop going.
And I like the fact that you bring in, you can catch up over coffee, since you don't drink any coffee, but let me move on from that.
I'll buy you a good coffee.
I think, one thing that we've mentioned during the roles discussion and during our relationship discussion as part of this whole series is that you need to understand the roles that will help you achieve the goals that you've set to yourself in 2025. And you need to build the relationships that will help you achieve those goals as well. And similarly, the environments that you're in need to be aligned to where you see 2025 going. Those goals that you have set for yourself and what you want to achieve, the environments plays a big part in that. And yes, we've discussed a lot around our work environment and the places that we frequent for work purposes. But like you've mentioned now, there's also the engagement around networking, and there's specific settings that we prefer or not prefer. And that might be because we derive some energy from that process. And like we've said under the roles and relationships as well, if the relationship doesn't energize you, probably means that it's sapping or taking from you. It's taking energy out of you. So don't build that relationship anymore or fix the problem or do something about it. But the same with environments. If you go to a networking event and it's not creating excitement for you, if it's not building on what you want to achieve for the year, might not be the right environment for you to go to. And it might be time to go and search for something that is actually within the space that you want to be, or that assists you with building those goals or reaching those goals that you want to achieve. But it's important that we go and assess if the environments that I'm in aligns with the goals and the targets that I want to reach for this year. And if it doesn't, that I need to make a change. And it doesn't mean that I need to resign from my job and just go and find something else suddenly. It might be subtle changes, might be incremental changes. And it might be something that I go and revisit ever so often to go and see, does it still align with what I want to achieve for this year? And our goals might also change for this year. It might be that there's something better and bigger than what I've ever thought of in store for me for this year, and that I might go and reassess this. It's not something that we do once a year and it's cast in stone and this is all I'm doing. It's important that we go and align our goals with the relationships, the roles that we play in, but also the spaces that we work in and the environments, the networking events, the activities that we frequent, and that we align those to each other. Otherwise, those goals will just be a dream and you won't execute on them because the environment will hold you back.
No, 100%. I think the key word here is maybe being intentional. Being intentional about your roles, being intentional about your relationships, and in being intentional about where you show up. And keep in mind that these things fluctuate during the year. So I 100% agree with you what you said. You can't just do this once a year in January or February, and then you hunky-dory the rest of the year. You continuously reflect, okay, where am I in terms of my roles? Which relationships are good and bad, good or bad at the moment? And which environments are working for me? And make an adult decision. Say, this isn't working for me. I'm just going to stop going. Or I'm going to take a bit of a break from going to networking events, and I'm going to focus on one-on-one relationships. And maybe something else comes from that. And that is, so you don't necessarily have a game plan that's incredibly detailed, but you have a mindset of being intentional. I'm going to be very intentional about my role, my relationships, and my environment. And then all three of those work together. There's nothing here in isolation. You can't isolate yourself 100% from people. You can't just be in one environment and protect yourself from the outside world. It's important to understand this stuff works together. And if you're not sure, ask for help. There's incredible content with our podcast to listen to. There's amazing stuff out there that can help you get better at each one of these three things. But I think on the practical side, if you're happy with your roles and happy with your relationships, then ask the people in your relationships, where do you go? How do you operate your environment? Maybe there's some cool tips and tricks you can learn from them that will enhance your own environment. And it's not necessarily a copy or paste. I'm really not a proponent for people just copying someone's daily routine to the T. Rather take inspiration from that and see how you can apply it to your side.
And so, John, we need to go and look at how we go through this process and of changing our environments. So probably the start of it is to do a little bit of a post-assessment of where you've been over the last while and to look at which environments did I go to in the past, 2024, maybe beginning of this year. Which of these environments work for what I want to achieve and which one don't. So almost like an audit of the environments that I'm in. Go and assess those environments and see, do they allow me to grow? Do they assist me to achieve my goals? And are they somehow related to the person that I want to become in this year? Does it set me up for something better? And then go and make some decisions whether or not that environment is still a good fit. Because I think the important part here is not just to go and assess all the environments that I'm in and list them, but to actually do something about that information as well, to try and see whether or not it is a productive environment. If it's not, what can I do about it? But to first go and identify all these environments, see if they work for you, and then go and plan from there into 2025 to see whether or not they are still a good fit. So if we're talking about a good fit, John, what is it that you say in terms of environments? How do we set them up for success in the year that's coming?
Well, I think fit is based on a couple of things. It's, am I comfortable in this space? Can I be myself, or do I have to put this mask on and pretend to be something I'm completely not, or something that doesn't align with my value? So if you're comfortable to be there, that's a good start. Do I want to be here? You might be comfortable, sure. But do I still want to be here? Do I still look forward to the And if you're really dreading going to a place or working in a certain environment, that's not good. You're never, ever going to do your best work. You're never going to be the best version of yourself. You're never going to be able to invest in the right relationships. So I think those two things are quite critical. And then we've come up with a short list of four things that we think you can do in terms of your environment. And I think it's important that we can't just sit back and everyone else must determine the environment. Remember, when you walk into the room, you're contributing to that environment as well. You're showing up in your role. You're meeting up with your friends or colleagues, which is on the relationship side. So you can't say the environment sucks and you did nothing to enhance it or to improve. And then you just play the blame game and say, oh, these people don't know what they're doing. I said, but you keep going there, or you contributed to this, or you were one of the founders of this meeting, or whatever the case may be. So I think it's important that you, when you're there, you're contributing as well. So we came up with four C's to reinforce your right environments. And the first one is what I spoke about recently is cast away. If it's not working, don't go. If you can't change it, if it doesn't serve you, if it drains you, if it affects you negatively or even psychologically, try not to go. Again, don't necessarily just quit your job, but cast it away. Like, I'm not going to go there anymore. It's not good for me. And find something that could replace it. And you don't have to replace it immediately. It might be good to just have some more alone time or more focused time in your home office, even, where you can do your best work. The second C is change. Can you be the change in the environment? If you see something wrong, what can you do about it? Maybe the morning meeting isn't working. Should we rather do a walking meeting around the building? Or should we do a lunchtime meeting? Or should we just sit outside at the cafeteria rather than in a stuffy boardroom? So what change can you bring or suggest to help with the environment? And even on a networking event, if you think it's too stiff, then tell the MC or make a suggestion, say, hey, can we do the 1 minute later, or can we do this at the beginning, or can we just play some background music? All of these small little things add up and can contribute to the environment. So please don't be a complainer and, oh, this place just sucks and you're not suggesting anything. If you've got something that you think could be worthwhile, then suggest the change and even help implement the change. The third C is choose. Are there new environments that I can present myself in that I can go to that will help my roles and relationships? I've talked about this before on LinkedIn. If you're just networking on your level, you're going to frustrate yourself, because you need to always be aiming up. Can I get to the decision makers, the CFOs, the CEOs, the CIOs, whatever my industry is? How do I get into those rooms? You and I often talk, how do you get into the boardrooms where the real decisions are made? So how are you choosing the right environment? And again, if you don't know, then ask, hey, is there a better networking event? Is there a CEO networking event or a CFO networking event? Or where do you guys go to network or to connect with people? Or where's a good co-working space? Ask people. Explore some options. Do a little bit of research to choose a better environment for yourself. That can enhance your roles, enhance your relationships as well. And then the fourth C there is create. Is there an environment that you can create that will best serve you? I've also said on LinkedIn before, you need to be the captain of something. You need to own something that people look forward to seeing you there, where you can kind of run the show. And it's very good for your visibility. It's good for learning how to run an event or to run a meeting or to run a breakfast thing with your friends. So create something that you want to see. If you're not finding it, then maybe that's a sign to start it. My favorite networking event at the moment is the World Green Walks up Lion's Head. It's a spectacular environment to go and climb Lion's Head. It's very friendly. I've met some really amazing people there. And it's something that I wish I had invented. I could have called it John's Walks, whatever. But it's so encouraging to be there and to attend it, and it's so different. So there is other options there. Maybe you can create a walk in Pretoria or Johannesburg or something like that, and start small. Maybe five people show up the first time. But what I've seen with World's Walks, I mean, it's incredibly popular. There's usually 20 to 30 people. It's a nice bunch of people. It's very encouraging, very supportive, And Will really runs a well-oiled machine there, using the WhatsApp groups very wisely and Google Forms and things like that. So you can create something like that. If you've got an idea, maybe just put it together. Or even if you do a monthly thing, it doesn't have to be weekly as well. But create something that will enhance your role and enhance your relationships.
I think the reason that works so well is because it's someone's passion. It's something that they like. And then you've got something in common. So a lot of people will go and do that because they like walking. They like climbing the little bit of a hill. And so there's this shared commonality already. There's something that they can discuss, just what they've done in the past in relation to that. And the outflow of that would be that you get to know each other better because you have something in common. And thus you can start talking about other things. There's no sense just walking in there and talking about sales. Whereas, you don't even understand the other person well. So, very good points there. And I like the fact that we can actually remember them with the C's firstly, but secondly, that it's so practical. It's so easy to go through because it's not rocket science. It's not something that we have to go and delve very deeply about. We can actually go on face value and say, listen, does this suit me? Does it work for me? Does it achieve what I need to achieve in the year? Does it help me with that? And then make decisions based on that. The important part is action, is to actually do something about it and not just think about it and leave it as is, but to act on the information that you have now received, that you the work that you've done to say, listen, which environments am I in, which ones energize me, which ones don't, and to make decisions around those, to go and find the things that will improve my situation, that will help me to grow, not just to sit back and accept it for what it is at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the choice is yours. Do I want to stay in my same environment? Do I want to stay in my same roles? Do I want to keep these same relationships, or do I want to actually do something about it in 2025? Yeah. And again, you don't have to throw everything out. You might just have to be a bit more intentional, a bit more strategic.
Yeah.
And I mean, remember, it's your life, it's your roles, it's your relationships, it's your environment. Don't just leave it up to chance or just go with the flow. There's too many people doing that. And then they wonder, why am I stuck in the same place? Well, it's because you're not being intentional. You've let time pass by. You haven't made a decision, and now you're kind of stuck. And being stuck is terrible. You don't want to be stuck. And remember, the opposite of stuck isn't necessarily moving at 100 miles an hour. It's, I think, moving intentionally. It's moving in a direction where I'm going to find my right place. But being stuck in a bad environment, I mean, how long are you going to let that carry on? I've had a friend recently contact me about moving to a new position. And we've had this conversation over the last 3 years. No, she wants to move. She wants to move. I'm like, just do it. Why haven't you? No, because they pay me well. I said, but you're very unhappy. You work 18 hours a day and the environment's toxic. Is that worth all the money they're paying you? And she's, and so she's like between a rock and a hard place. But I said, look, it's not a difficult decision to make. You've got to manage your finances better, build a bit of a nest egg even, and get out of there. Because you can't be there for the next 10 years. And I don't want to take your call anymore if you're going to ask me the same question again or expect me to offer help. I mean, you need to make the decision eventually. So I think there's a lot for people to consider and have a bit of a reality check. Talk to your spouse, talk to your partner, talk to your business partners about where you're at. Have these crucial conversations now. And don't let the whole year go by and get to December and it's just like, oh my word, this year was just a waste of time. I didn't grow. I'm very stagnant. I'm very stuck. My environments aren't fulfilling me. Take action now and you can turn your life around very quickly.
Very good, John. I enjoyed this conversation. I think the reality is that it's all up to us. It's up to me to do something. And even if you only do one small thing, the ripple effect might be a lot bigger. But yeah, the environment is not always something that I thought of actively because I would work on the relationship or I would work in a specific role. And from there, I would land up or end up in an environment. But I think if we see it in isolation, there's a lot that we can do with the environment that we almost took for granted and took as something that just happens to us, that we now can actively think about and always drive positive change in the environment as well, while maintaining a positive relationship and also being in a role that you are comfortable in and that you are also growing in. So I think I like the way the three parts of this series also works together to help us to achieve our goals for this year.
No, excellent, Rudolf. I've enjoyed the series. I think it's been eye-opening for us as well to reflect on our own roles, relationships, and environments. Mm-hmm. I don't think people must be under the illusion that we've got everything figured out. I mean, we're still young and trying to find our exact right place and keep our families going and keep our businesses afloat. And so we are on this journey with you. And if you need any specific advice or you've got some issues, please reach out to myself or Rudolf via LinkedIn or email. You know kind of how to get hold of us by now. And I think we'd be happy to talk to some people, give them advice. And remember, there is lots of help available. No one is stuck. There's great YouTube videos out there. There's great podcasts out there besides ours. There's some really good reading material as well. So make this the year that you are intentional about this stuff. Take it seriously, but you can have a lot of fun with it as well.
Thanks, John. It was nice chatting to you as always. I think there's a lot to digest here. And I might want to listen to this conversation myself afterwards, just to hear what I've said to myself now. But yeah, it was good chatting to you. A lovely topic and something that is very practical that we can go and do. I think if you like this, obviously you can share it with some of your friends. You can subscribe to the channel and get them to subscribe as well. And then until we see you again here at the right place.
Cheers, Rudolf.